Kia ora. Welcome to the Arise Church podcast. For more details, you can find us at arisechurch.com. Right now, we're going to hear from our national youth pastor, Ed Bamford Bryant. We hope you enjoy today's message.
I really have great expectation of what God is going to do today. It's Pentecost Sunday. Is anyone excited about Pentecost Sunday? Is anyone excited that Pentecost Sunday isn't the pinnacle of our faith? It's not like we just come on one Sunday and God just moves more powerfully than on other Sundays. But actually, I don't know. I just get a sense that this season that we're in as a church, it's that actually that something within us would change. It's not like we'd come to church and expect to, everything to happen for us, but that actually there'd be a deeper hunger that would rise up within us. And I don't know what you're facing, what you're walking through at the moment, but I really want to encourage us, before we get into the Word of God, what are you bringing to church this morning? What do I mean by that? What faith are you bringing to church? What expectation are you bringing to church? Because I think sometimes we can come into the house of God and we can expect everything to be done for us, but God actually asks us to come to Him and bring something. He asks us to bring our faith. That when we come to Him to ask Him of something, He says, come with faith and expectation. In fact, the Bible actually says that without faith, it's impossible to please God because He is the rewarder of those who earnestly seek Him. That when we come to God, we're meant to come with faith that we believe that God is who He says He is and He can do what He said He'd do. And today, my prayer is that for each one of us, we're gonna talk about the book of Acts. It's going to be amazing. I believe God's going to pour out His Spirit, but I maybe want to challenge us. Are you coming with faith into the house of God? Not just this week, not just because it's Pentecost Sunday. It's not some silver bullet for God to do whatever He wants to do in your life. No, every Sunday would we come with faith. And I really believe today that God has something that He wants to deposit in each one of your lives. I don't know what you're walking through. I don't know what you're facing, but I believe that God has something that He wants to do in each one of your lives. Today, we're gonna talk about this significant moment in the church, the day of Pentecost, when the church as we know it was birthed out of the fire and the power of God. And what I love about this passage of Scripture, these passages that we're gonna read, this moment in history that we're gonna read about, is that it wasn't the beginning and the end. It wasn't like what God did in the group of disciples in the upper room began and ended in the book of Acts. No, it was the beginning of a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That God, what He began then is continuing today. And in the book of Acts chapter 2, if you've got your Bibles, you can turn to it. It says that when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each one of us hears in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Pergia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the other parts of Libya near Cyrene. That was a real tongue twister. Visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said they have had too much wine. Today, sounds like, I don't know, I was going to say something. So many thoughts, stop. It's like Cuba Street at 9 a.m. on a, talks about, Peter says, too early to be drunk with wine. I was thinking he's never been to Wellington and seen Cuba Duper. Stop. Back on track. Okay, today I want to share about the power of God. We're going to continue reading in just a moment some more passages of Scripture, but I really want to share not just about this significant moment, but the journey of one of those gathered in the upper room. I want to talk about Peter. Today, I want to talk about the life of a man who had an encounter with the fire and the power of God that transformed him forever. And my prayer today is that this would be an encouragement to you. My prayer today is that this would stir you, because I believe today that the life of Peter, who was one of those gathered in this passage of scripture that we read about, his journey, what it shows us about what happens when the power of God comes upon a person's life, it could be an encouragement to us. But as we get into the Word of God, why don't we pray? God, I thank you for your Spirit that's already here. Holy Spirit, that I thank you that you're in this room. We don't need to strive. We don't need to do anything to earn your love, God. You have already given it to us by your grace. God, today I pray, and Holy Spirit, I just pray, have your way. Whatever you want to do, whatever you want to say, however you want to speak, we're open. God, would you move in our lives as we come around your word? God, I pray that you would speak to us. You promise that as your word goes out, it never returns void, but it accomplishes what it is set out to do. So God, I pray, speak through your word in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. There's something about fire. There's something about the effects of fire that is undeniable. You don't have to be close to fire to feel its effects. You don't have to be near a fire to know that there is a fire blazing. Fire will leave its mark wherever it goes. I have been known to be someone who overcooks my food. I've been known, I try and make a nice dinner for my incredible wife, Vic. I remember when we first got married and we were living in our first rental place, our oven wasn't exactly the newest or the most efficient. That was my excuse for the reason why I kept charring the hash browns I tried to make for brunch every Saturday morning. I would overcook things because there is something about fire and heat that has an effect. That when we're around fire, it can have an effect on the environments that we're in. We don't want to overcook things. We don't want to put things too close to fire. But I was thinking about that because I think sometimes we can think naturally when you go near a fire, you don't want to get too close because it might have an impact on your life. You don't want to get too close to things that are around fire because you might never be the same. I think sometimes we can approach the power and the fire and the presence of God like that. I don't want to get too close because I might be changed. I don't want to get too close to the power of God because things might get a little bit weird. Can I be honest, church? I think sometimes we talk about the fire of God, but the reality is we're not leaning into God's power and presence because if we're honest, we don't know how it's going to change us. Because you can't get around the fire of God without being changed forever. You can't be filled with the presence of God without being changed forever. And my encouragement for us on Pentecost Sunday is that this isn't just a Sunday where we come and we have an experience. No, my prayer is that we would encounter God in such a way that we could never be the same. That we would encounter God in such a way that your family would never be the same. Come on, young person, my prayer is that you would encounter God in such a way that those desires that once had a hold on you would no longer have a hold on you. That you would say the things that once satisfied me no longer satisfy. Fire changes things. And I want us to understand that fire is crucial to the plan of God. That when we read all throughout the scriptures, we see moments where God marked things, changed things, purified things, healed things, set people apart with his fire. A fire is a way that we can understand the power of God. And it was this fire that transformed a group of believers in this upper room. Yeah. It was the fire of God that began the early church. Man, the church was birthed out of the fire of the presence of God. But it was this group that gathered 50 days after the Passover and they saw Jesus go and die on the cross, raised from the dead, ascend into heaven. And then he said, I want you to wait in this upper room. It was out of the fire of God that the church began. And I want to encourage us today that the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's nature is the same. And if he began the church out of his power and presence, why do we think that it was reserved for back then? Because God still wants to move with his power and presence in your life. And today I want to look at the life of Peter, the journey of the Apostle Peter, from his moment in the garden when he came before Jesus, saw Jesus be taken, and his journey to Pentecost. Because the reality is, when the fire of God fell upon these believers, that was not the first fire that Peter had had a key moment with God around. There were these moments in his journey where the Bible shows us that he gathers around a fire as a metaphor, maybe if you like, that actually there were these significant moments in his journey. And what does Peter's journey show us about the life of a believer that's filled with the fire of God? Firstly, we've got to understand that Peter wasn't perfect. Peter, he made mistakes. Peter, he was a flawed, imperfect person just like us. Firstly, we've got to understand is that Peter denied Jesus around a fire. That this man who was filled with the power of God, he had had a moment of denial. That Peter, only days before Pentecost, weeks before Pentecost, was in a season of testing. There was a moment for Peter where he had a choice to make. Mark chapter 14 says that as Peter in verse 66 was below in the courtyard just after Jesus had been taken, one of the servant girls of the high priest came and seeing Peter warming himself, another translation says around a fire, she looked at him and said, "You also were with the Nazarene Jesus." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you mean." And he went out into the gateway and the rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him and began again to say to the bystanders, "This man is one of them." But again he denied it. And after a while, the bystanders again said to Peter, "Certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." But he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." And immediately the rooster crowed a second time. Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And he broke down and wept. This was the same man that was present in the upper room. This was a man who had been walking with Jesus. He'd been following the one that he believed to be the Messiah. He began to see Jesus perform miracles, heal the sick, raise the dead, open the eyes of the blind. And in this crucial moment, he denied Jesus. In this crucial moment, he turned and he failed in the mission, or he thought that he had failed in the mission that God had given him. He came with great expectation that he would not deny Jesus. But in a moment of pressure, he turned away. And I want to encourage us today that maybe there have been moments in your life where pressure has come and you've shrunk back from the things of God. Maybe you can relate to Peter that in moments when you were meant to stand up for the things of God, you instead turned away. You see, this fire that we see, it represented a time of testing. Jesus, in fact, knew that Peter would be tested. Peter had been waiting for the promise. He'd been waiting for this one that people had prophesied of. But this was a moment where his faith was tested. And I think the reality is that Peter, he faltered in his faith, but he never failed. That he faltered in this moment of testing, but he never failed. Can I encourage you today that maybe you feel like a failure in your faith? You might have faltered, but the reality is you don't have to fail. You might stumble, but you don't have to fall. That you can get back up and go again. That you can get back up and say, "Jesus, I might have had a moment where I felt unworthy or a moment where I tried and I didn't measure up to what you'd called me to do." But you don't have to fail. Because Jesus said in Luke chapter 22, verse 31, he knew that Peter was going to go through this. He said, "Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail." I love that. That we have a great high priest who intercedes on our behalf. That when you don't know what to do, you've got one who's standing in the gap for you. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Peter said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." And Jesus said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny me three times that you know me." Peter desperately wanted to remain faithful, but he faltered in a moment of testing. Why? Because Peter was trying in his own strength. Peter was trying to live as God had called him to do in his own power and might. When seasons of testing come, what do you lean into? Do you lean into your own strength and ability? Or do you yield to the power and presence of God? When your business is struggling, whose strength do you lean into? When you're trying to witness to your unsaved family, by whose strength are you doing it? When you're trying to outwork what God has called you to do, Are you doing it in your own strength? Man, I wonder, and maybe I fear perhaps for the church, and myself included, that so often we say, I want to do great things for God, but we're trying to do it all in our own strength. Man, I know what it's like. We've been on this journey these last couple of years of starting a new ministry. We've seen God do some amazing things. But can I be honest, there have been moments where I said, maybe if I just work a little bit later, maybe if I just work a little bit harder, maybe if I just do all of these things, that maybe I will produce the result. But God has not designed our faith to be done in our own strength. That Peter shows us that the more that we try to live our lives with willpower, it will not measure up to the plan that God has for us. But be encouraged that testing does not mean an absence of God's presence. Be encouraged that in the testing, in the fire of testing, that God wants to purify something in your heart. That in the fire of testing, and maybe you feel like you're in the middle of a trial right now, be encouraged, you are not alone. You have one who is with you in the middle of what you are facing. You know what the best news is? That isn't where Peter's story ended. Secondly, we've got to understand that Peter was restored around a fire. That only days, even a matter of weeks later, Jesus appeared to his disciples. They were out fishing, they'd gone back to their own lives. And Jesus, he appeared to them. Peter runs, he jumps into the water and runs to have a meal with Jesus around a fire. And in John 21, verse 15, it says that when they have finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. And he said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Truly I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. He said this to show him by which of death he was to glorify God. But after saying this to him, he said, follow me. The man that had denied Jesus around a fire was restored in the presence of God around a fire. Peter, who had denied Jesus in this crucial moment, was received by Jesus. And I want to encourage you today that you might be here and there might be things that need to be restored in your life. Peter shows us that it doesn't matter how far you falter, there is nothing in your life that God cannot restore in his presence. I want to encourage you today. You might have come to church. This might be your first time in the house of God. And you feel like you're carrying some brokenness. You feel like you're carrying some burdens. There is nothing that our God cannot restore. There is nothing that is too big for our God to restore. As many times as Peter denied Christ, Jesus restored him. Do you notice that? Peter denied Christ three times. Jesus called him to restoration three times. The Bible says that love covers over a multitude of sins. And every moment that Peter had faltered, Jesus said, I am here to restore you. But there had to be a choice in Peter's life to choose whether he was going to go back to Jesus. Yeah. And I want to encourage us today on Pentecost Sunday, will you choose to go back to Jesus? When you feel like you stumble, will you choose to run back to the arms of your Father? When you feel like you've been overwhelmed, would you choose to go back to your Savior? I wonder today, what in our lives have we turned to when God has called us just to turn back to Him? You see, the reality is, Peter, he was around a fire, but something changed in his life at Pentecost. Yeah. Something changed in the life of Peter at Pentecost. Thirdly, we've got to understand this. When Peter received the fire of God, he went from denying to testifying. When Peter received God's presence, he went from denying to testifying. Peter was transformed at Pentecost. Peter's life was changed forever at Pentecost. Peter began to step out and live as God had called him to because of something that changed within him. And I believe it's still true for us today. Acts chapter 2, directly after the verses that we read, starting in verse 14, it said that Peter stood up with the 11. He raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all you live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 a.m. I just love that he says that every time. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited to God by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. And Peter and the other apostles, they said, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, for whom the Lord our God will call. And many other words with them, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Wow. The man who went from denying his Savior was that very same man that proclaimed the message of the good news of Jesus Christ. The man that couldn't even testify to a handful of people became the same man that stood up in front of thousands and proclaimed the gospel. You know why? It wasn't because Peter tried a lot harder. It wasn't because he had finally figured out, okay, cool, I've read the scriptures and the letters of the law and the prophets a little bit more. No, it was because the power of God came upon a man who was imperfect and broken and he was flawed, but the power of God came upon a man and he began to walk in the plan that God had called him to walk in. Peter's story is proof of the reality that no person is unworthy of being used under the hand of God. You might have struggled, but you are not unworthy. Because Peter, as he said, it's because of Jesus that we are made worthy. It's because of our Savior that we are made worthy. And I want to encourage us today. Parent, you might have been struggling to raise your kids in the way of God. Would you say, I want to surrender again to the power and the presence of God? I can't do this on my own anymore. Man, I take my hat off to every parent. We're about to have our first child, and to be honest, I'm so excited. But man, I get a sense of there's a responsibility here that I got to raise my child in the ways of God. Come on, you don't have to do it alone. Come on, those of you who are wanting to be a witness to your world, you don't need to strive in your own strength anymore. You don't have to do it alone. Come on, those of you who are leading businesses and working in the corporate world, and you're saying, I want to make a kingdom difference in the world. You don't have to do it alone. Come on, we have access to one whose power is greater than our own. Peter tried and he failed in his own strength. But as he began to surrender to the ways of God, he began to walk in all that God had made him to be. Jesus had said to Peter, Matthew 16, verse 18, I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The man who had denied Jesus around a fire, when he was filled with God's fire, began to operate in the plan and the purpose that God had for him all along. Some of you, God has asked something of you and you have shrunk back. Today, I believe as his power and his presence comes upon your life, you are going to stand up in boldness again. You are going to walk in boldness again. You are going to live as God had called you to live all along. What could God do with a person who is filled with his presence? Does the team come and join me? Peter was around the power of God, but what made him an effective witness was when he was filled with the power of God. When Peter surrendered his own efforts and became a vessel for God to use, he became an effective witness for the kingdom of God. So you can be around the power of God, but things won't actually change in your life until you surrender to the power of God, until you allow yourself to be filled. Lastly, if you're writing notes, write this down. We still need the fire of God today. Come on, our churches still need the fire of God. Come on, we as followers of Jesus, we still need the fire of God. It isn't based on our perfection. Peter shows us this. It isn't based on how many times we've got it right. Peter shows us this. It's based on our willingness to yield under the hand of God. Come on, I don't want to be a part of a church that just goes through the motions. I don't want to be a part of a church that saying, man, God, I want to be used by you, but we're trying in our own human effort. Absolutely, our faith should provoke works, 100%. But we don't need a group of believers who are trying to witness in our own strength. Come on, there's a big calling on our lives. There's a big calling on your life. There's a hurting and broken world out there that needs to know the truth and love of Jesus Christ. But man, we're not called to do it alone. You know, I think sometimes we can think of the fire of God in a bit of a one-dimensional way. Like, oh, I just had a moment at the gathering. I had a moment at summer camp. I'm fired up. Yeah. We don't need a fire that fades. Yeah. You don't need another feeling on Pentecost Sunday. I don't know why I'm doing this with my hand. Fired up. You don't need another flash in the pan good for a moment. No. You need a fire that endures. Yeah, you need a fire that lasts. You need a fire that enables you to stand firm. Yeah. You see, Peter, he had faltered, but he was healed in the presence of God. Yeah. Peter needed some things to be restored. You know, the fire of God, in the testing, it purifies things in us. When we're broken, the fire of God heals some things. And when we're called to be a vessel, the fire of God empowers us. Peter, he had an encounter with the very presence of God. He didn't just receive a fire that faded, because Peter had walked through some things. He knew what it was like to fail in his own strength. He knew what it was like to be restored when he needed it. So when the fire of God fell upon a man who had walked through some things, something began to change in him. Something began to come alive in him. It was like there was a purpose all along, but it was when the fire of God came upon his life that he began to operate in all that God had called him to be. Come on, we don't need a fire that just comes and goes in moments. I'm praying for us today that we would receive God's power and presence, not for a moment, but that we would be those that say, God, I want to be someone that lives my life full of your power, full of your presence. I don't want a fire that fades. I want a fire that endures, a fire that lasts. It says in 1 Peter, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 7, Peter says this, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes through, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That man who had denied Jesus wrote that. That man who couldn't even testify to three people became that same man who wrote in the scriptures that of a faith that lasts and endures. Why would he write that? Because he knew about a fire that lasted. He knew about a fire that purified. He knew about a fire that restored and healed. That even when he was broken and felt unworthy and felt like he couldn't make it through, that was a man who knew the power of God, not just about the idea of the power of God, but a man that was operating under the power of God. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you will be my witnesses. There is a direct correlation with receiving God's power and being a witness. You can only help but be a witness when you have received God's power. Because when you have received God's power, you cannot help but testify of what you have seen and heard. To be a witness to your family, to be a witness to your friend, man, you can't just be around the power of God. We need the power of God. Come on, to be a church that God has called us to be. We can't just sing about the power of God. We need to know the power of God. We need to be hungry for the power of God. We need to be those that are yielded under the power of God. I don't want to just come to church on a Sunday and sing songs and leave this place the same way that I came in. No, no, what would it look like? Come on, what would it look like if you came here on a Sunday and you said, God, I'm believing that your power is going to touch my life. I'm believing that when I walk out these doors, I'm not going to be the same. Come on, what would it look like? We're at the end of 10 days of prayer and fasting. What would it look like if every single day you said, God, fill me afresh so that I may be a witness? What would our world look like? What would our families look like? What would our friendship groups look like? As you stand at your feet, man, I don't want to be like a Peter in the garden. I don't want to be like that guy who was trying in his own strength. I want to be like Pentecost Peter. I want to be like that one who said, God, you've got my life. You've got my life. Man, we need spirit-filled believers who will stand firm. We need those who are filled with the power of God. I want to encourage us today. You do not need to outwork your faith in your own strength. You don't need to strive in your own strength anymore. There is one whose power is greater than your own. We need to be the kind of believers that are able to stand firm. When our truth is attacked, stand firm. When your faith is tested, stand firm. When others don't, stand firm. When it feels easier to turn away, stand firm. When it feels like everything is hopeless, stand firm. Why? Because it's not in your own strength, it's in the power of God. Acts chapter 13, verse 52, it says the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Another translation says they were continually filled. What is this saying? It's not a one-time thing. It's not a moment that we have at a summer camp or on a Sunday morning at church. No, no, it's a continuation to say, God, today would you fill me? God, I need your power today. God, I need your presence today. But I want to ask us today, are we willing to receive? What God has for you, it's not a one-time thing, but he has something fresh for you today. In just a moment, what we're going to do is we're going to open this altar. We're going to pray for every person who wants to receive a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you today. You could sit back in your seat. Absolutely, God can absolutely meet you there, 100%. But there's something that takes place when we take action that relates to the inward faith within our hearts. Think about the woman with the issue of blood when she stretched out her hand believing that Jesus would make her well. When Jairus was believing for his child to be healed, that he came and he fell at Jesus' feet. When the centurion sent his representatives because he said, I'm not even worthy to have the King of Kings come into my home, but say the word and my servant will be healed. There was an action that outworked a posture of faith. And if you're wanting to receive today, I want to encourage you. We're going to have a team that are going to pray. But I want to encourage you, absolutely you can stay back in your seat, but why not take a step of faith today? Say, God, I'm actually hungry for you. Parent, I believe there are parents in this room and you need to come and you need to receive a fresh infilling today. I believe there are leaders in this church, you need to come and you need to receive a fresh infilling today. I first received the baptism of the Holy Spirit on an altar when I was 16. It was a little bit wild. My youth pastor came up to me and said, Ed, either we're all crazy or this is real. That was good enough for me. I don't think my friends are crazy. I think this might be legit. God's power transformed my life. But can I tell you, I'm not living my life based on that one moment. Yesterday, I was praying in our 7 a.m. prayer meeting. I said, God, would you fill me afresh with your power? It was like the power of God came into my living room at my townhouse in Nainai. It was like God's heaven opened and the power of God came into my life afresh. Man, it's not just a one-time thing. We need a fresh touch. So before we do that, I want us to spend a moment to exalt our King, to worship our God. The team are going to lead us. And before we open this altar, I just want us to, like the disciples in the upper room, just wait upon God, just worship our God. So come on, why don't you stretch out your hands right now? If you're hungry for a touch from heaven, come on, if you're hungry, I don't want you to wait for someone else to do it. Come on, if you're hungry, just stretch out your hands. Oh God, today we're hungry for your presence. Oh God, we're hungry for a touch today. God, would you pour out your spirit? Would you pour out your presence?
Thank you for joining us for the Arise Church podcast. We hope this message has blessed you. For more content or resources, visit arisechurch.com. Matiwa, see you soon.